This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. Before we get started with our conversation with Barbara Quant, this to tell you about from federal courts in federal court building, rather, in Hammond. Comes word that Whiting Mayor Joseph Stahura has been charged by federal attorneys with wire fraud and tax fraud, and he's agreed to plead guilty to the charges. His wife Diana was named in a deferred prosecution agreement with the U.S. Attorney's Office in Hammond. U.S. Attorney Thomas Kirsch said today that the elected official of 35 years had used his campaign fund between 2014 and 2019 for personal expenditures like gambling, credit card debt, and providing financial support to an adult daughter. Mayor Stahura told the Times that no city money was ever touched and that he may plan for resignation in the days ahead. Stahura was the chairman and treasurer of his campaign committee, and Attorney Kirsch said that Stahura had used about $255,000 in funds from the committee, as it is called in the official court papers, for personal purposes while disguising the activity by filing campaign reports with false and misleading information. Indiana campaign finance law restricts the use of money contributed to a campaign committee, and use for personal expenses are not allowed under the rules. A federal court judge in Hammond will review the plea agreement that Stahura has made with the U.S. Attorney's Office, and the judge will decide if it'll be accepted. Joe Stahura has been Whiting mayor since 2004, and prior to that, he had served as a Whiting City Councilman for 20 years. This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. We'll find out the latest how Indiana's small business people are doing these days. Barbara Quant is the Indiana Director for the National Federation of Independent Business, and she is with us from Indianapolis. And Barbara, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me on your program once again, Chris. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, we have a new report out from a small business here in the Hoosier State about the impact of the coronavirus pandemic. Bring us up to date, please.
Well, our latest survey is out. This is the 11th one, and it talks about the PPP loan program was a godsend for most small businesses, but that funding is about to run out. Most folks, in fact, it's 84% have already used up the money from the PPP loans, and that's the loan that can be forgiven. And so they're in the process of applying for forgiveness with their banks.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is that it won't cost them anything to have borrowed that money if they apply for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. The next thing that this shows is that it was 32% of small business owners reported that the extra $600 per week that was provided to in the unemployment program actually hurt small businesses because it made it harder to hire or rehire workers. But on the flip side, mm-hmm. there's a flip side to that. The UI program also helped support customer spending, with 9% of owners feeling they benefited from the program by putting more money in their customers' pockets. So good news, bad news situation. Another thing that is on this survey, the threat of legal action against small business is a serious concern for 55% of the small business owners. Mm-hmm. They're afraid that the threat of legal action from customers or employees.
Is that mainly the concern about having to wear masks in a business?
No, what they're concerned about is they're doing everything that they have to do to protect their employees and their customers.
Mm-hmm.
But the fear is that people will come in, you know, say they got the virus, somebody wasn't wearing a mask that should have been, and they caught the virus, and so they would hold the business responsible for that. So that's the kind of, because there's guidance, but there's no one set of rules for everybody, and you can't control the individual public.
So it is more concern, I guess, making sure that small businesses have some kind of liability protection, right?
Yes, yes. You know, unless they're grossly negligent.
Well, it sounds like many of the cases that you've gotten into the office there, not a great deal of change, although we see improvement, of course, with the small businesses coming back, many of them back in operation after the pandemic and the shutdown and all, but still a lot of concerns to deal with. And you say now it's mostly to find out when the next, I guess, support coming out of Washington is going to be. And I know that not long ago there was a virtual fly-in for NFIB members to find out about, and Indiana Senator Todd Young was involved in that. Tell us what, in particular, he had to say to the Indiana NFIB members, and what efforts he's going to try to push on Capitol Hill.
Well, he's looking to help with additional funding, something like the PPP program, and so he knows that small businesses need additional funding. A lot of them, like we said, it's run out. And unless business has rebounded significantly, they're going to need more help until the things really start to improve. There are good news stories out there. If you're, for instance, if you're in the RV business, your business is booming.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in the IT services business, you may not be able to keep up. And the pet business, people are wanting to get puppies and bring them home while they're at working from home. I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And my pup is running around trying to chew up everything right now.
I come across some of those, too, when trying to do recordings with people. And you hear the doggy in the background. So, yeah, it's one of the advantages or disadvantages of working from home, I know.
So those folks are, you know, those kinds of businesses are doing well. But for every good news story, there's a tragic one. I spoke to one of our members just yesterday, and the story he told is very sad. His name is Rick Harris, and he's the owner of Upland Management Services, and they install and set up trade show booths.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, nobody's talking about what's happening to my business or to businesses like mine. He said that thanks to the PPP loan program, he was able to keep employing his workers, even though there was zero convention and trade show business. But he said that next week he will have used up the last of the PPP money, like our survey is showing, and he's going to be out of business. He's going to have to close down by the first part of September. And he's been in business for 37 years. That's a really sad story, and there's others like him. And we got to help him.
Are many of these businesses that are like his, because he's dealing with a product or a service that basically nobody uses these days because there are no business meetings and that sort of thing, no conventions, are a lot of these centered around Indianapolis or Fort Wayne or the major cities like here in Northwest Indiana, but in particular with places like Fort Wayne and Evansville and Indianapolis, because that's the convention centers, yeah.
Yes, something like that is definitely in the city centers. But I know that even in other parts of the state, they'll have small trade shows and the like. So that aren't happening, and so those kinds of businesses are suffering. Other folks are able to pivot, and I'll give it to the small business owners of Indiana. They are in it to stay as long as they can, and so they're going to be creative and do something else, like the restaurants that switch to carry out and mm-hmm. outdoor seating, and do whatever they can to try and stay in business. But with so many, that you can't do it forever.
We're talking Barbara Quant. She is the Indiana director of the National Federation of Independent Business, based in Indianapolis. And I know since you keep a very close eye on Hoosier small businesses, you have to keep an eye on the General Assembly as well, too, because I know that's going to be one of the topics, I'm sure, that in the next General Assembly session, however it's handled or wherever it's handled, coming up in January, there'll be lawmakers that will try and do what they can, and you'll be out there lobbying for small business there, too. And I know not long ago. You got some remarks put out about the issue, again, going back to the liability protection issue again, from Indiana Senate Leader Mark Mesmer. Tell us what Senator Mesmer had to say and what the NFIB Indiana wants to have him do.
Well, he is committed to helping pass liability protection for small businesses at the state level. And so we're hopeful that this next session will provide some kind of protection. As I said, not if someone's, you know, is not taking any care at all and they're negligent, but most small businesses are doing whatever they can to try and protect their families and their customers. So anything you can do to protect them from being sued is a good thing, and we should do that. So I applaud Senator Mesmer for saying he's going to go ahead with helping with that. But you know, when you talk about the legislature, how is that going to change? Are we going to be in person? Are we going to be virtual? There's so much that's going to be coming up in the next few months to more changes to the way that Indiana conducts business and passes laws.
Not long ago, the NFIB had put out a national release, and you've passed it along to us here in Indiana, about a phase-in plan, or phased plan, we should say, for small business recovery. And phase four, I understand, is out there. Tell us about these legislative principles that the NFIB is pushing to everyone to know to make sure that small businesses have the necessary resources to be able not only to reopen, to stay in business, and to be able to try and prosper in this pandemic.
Yeah, they need as we spoke, they need additional funding, additional help to get them through this very challenging period. And then they need some liability protection. And they need tax protection as well, so that we're not increasing taxes on them to try and raise more funds while businesses are just trying to stay alive and you know, get back to growing their business and creating jobs. Another thing would be regulatory reform, and so that we're not piling on additional regulation because of what's going on with the pandemic. I mean, we need to be as protective as we can of the public while also helping small businesses survive and ultimately thrive.
I know the last plan that was put out was actually just as the pandemic was really taking hold back in April. And I'm sure there was quite a change that has come up in this latest plan that the NFIB has put out and publicized compared to what things were even in April.
Oh, yes. I mean, we, as we survey our members, and that's how NFIB takes positions on the issues. We don't have a board of directors that makes decisions for us. We talk to our members, and they vote. So we're constantly surveying to find out how they're doing and what we can do, what the state can do to help them in whatever instance we're talking about. And so these numbers, you know, it's great to talk about the percentage and the numbers of small businesses, but they all, you know, they all have a face and a life, and hopefully we can keep these businesses going. And as I said, there's great stories, and I'm usually a Pollyanna, but during this crisis, boy, it's challenging to stay optimistic sometimes.
Now, do you and your staff members there in Indianapolis with the Indiana office of the NFIB stay in touch every single day with, and we talk about virtually, you know, perhaps if it may not be Zoom meetings, but it may be on Skype or some other way that people can stay in touch from the businesses out there that are members with you folks in Indianapolis, do you have to use the same procedure to stay in touch with them?
Well, we use Teams. Microsoft Teams for most of ours, But we do Zoom, and I know I do Zoom television interviews, and we have had almost weekly webinars on subjects about, for instance, how to apply for forgiveness as we've moved along. How do you apply for a loan, and where do you apply, and so forth? And then it's been, how do you get forgiveness? And there's so many questions because it's complex. So those are on our website, by the way. And if people will go to nfib.com/coronavirus, they will find a lot of the information dealing with the funding that's available and advice on how to apply or how to get forgiveness. And those webinars are all on there, and they're really very good.
Are you finding many of
them? They're free. Oh, they're free, I would say that.
Are you finding that many of the Indiana small businesses that participate in the webinars are able to learn more, maybe if they're not technically savvy, they're learning how to better use their computers that they hadn't used necessarily for communicating before. They're starting to learn how to use the technology better so they can maybe transfer that over into their businesses?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the side benefits of all of this. And mm-hmm. and I can say I'm one of them doing these Teams calls or Zoom calls. Everybody's learning how to utilize those, and it's a terrific tool. I mean, we're able to connect with thousands of small business owners, like that virtual fly-in that we just did.
Yeah.
I mean, there were thousands of small business owners on there, and for us in Indiana, we've had our meetings with Senator Young, as you heard, and different legislators, Senator Messmer. And members can ask questions live and get answers. And in fact, in some ways, it's an improvement over a large meeting.
Well, Barbara, thank you very much for spending time with us, giving us the latest data that's come out from the NFIB about the status of small businesses here in Indiana and elsewhere, trying to continue to deal with the effects of the coronavirus pandemic, and the latest information on how our lawmakers, both here in Indiana as well as on Capitol Hill, are trying to do to make things easier for the small businesses out there. And we will be checking back in with you soon. Thank you very much for today.
Thank you, Chris.
Barbara Quant is the Indiana Director of the National Federation of Independent Business, and you're listening to Regionally Speaking. The Indiana Small Business Development Center, also known as the SBDC, is working with the IU Kelley School of Business to put together a way to offer some direct technical support and help small businesses in general try to expand their online capabilities and hopefully their sales as well, regardless of whether we're in the pandemic or not. And with us to talk about the program, we have a Professor Bipin Prabhakar. He is a professor and also the chairman of the InfoSystems graduate programs for the Kelley School of Business. And he's talking with us from Southern Indiana's campus. Thank you for joining us on the program today, sir. Tell us a little bit about what the idea behind what is, I guess, officially called Project HOPE is all about.
Yes. So HOPE stands for Hoosiers Online Professional Engagement. When we kicked off this project, the idea was solving two challenges that we were facing. The first one was, as we went into the lockdown and the stay-at-home order here, we were noticing that a lot of small businesses were struggling, and in some cases, a couple of our favorite restaurants announced that they would potentially be shutting down for good. Around the same time, we were noticing that a lot of our students were getting their internship offers changed, in some cases canceled, and a number of students who didn't have internships at that time were unable to find anything new.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of put our heads together and said, can we solve both of these problems with a single initiative? And said, we have companies that are struggling to be successful in this new reality that we were living in at that time. You had to be online, you had to be digital, and we had a number of information systems graduate students who had the skill set to help them that were looking for internships. So we decided to bring the two together, and the whole digital project was blocked.
I know this is an area that that the Kelley School of Business's mission basically is driven around a lot. I know that that Dean Kessner and other folks there in the university are very, very keen about this. And it turns out that the COVID-19 pandemic has really made things not only very difficult for small businesses in Indiana, but especially for very young businesses, ones that maybe just be startups, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And, as you know, Indiana is very much forward in terms of being a business-friendly state. And with all of the companies that they're suffering, and when you think about a small business, right, your typical small business, whether that is a retail storefront or a restaurant or a family operation that does plumbing or electric work, technology capability is not something that they tend to have in-house. And when they look at how do we go online, it is very daunting, right? So if you start looking at what are my solutions to get my storefront, there are way too many things, there are too many complications, and you don't have a trusted advisor. And that's kind of where we stepped in and said, we can help bridge that gap.
Mm-hmm. How many students are helping you colleagues on the faculty in this Project Hope these days?
So currently we have 70-odd students that are working on the project. Over the summer, we've had more than 120 different students that were involved. So some of the students, if they had like a part-time internship in the summer or had a short-time internship in the summer, they worked for a few weeks on Project Hope, and then mm-hmm. they went back to the company. Some of them are actually working part-time while they are engaged in a in an internship with a firm. So we've had 120 plus total, 70 that are currently active, and it slowly changes.
Wow. What in particular do the interns get to help on as they're doing within the project itself? Any particular projects, sub-projects that that they help them to be able to do? Because it's all virtual now, of course.
Yes. So the number one type of project that we get has been getting on the web, right? Having a digital presence, whether that's a digital storefront or being able to provide capabilities of plugging into electronic markets, such as selling on the eBay marketplace or the Amazon marketplace. We've also had requests from companies that have said, we managed to put up a website, but nobody knows how to find us. So we've been doing, search engine optimization, helping them with social media campaigns, helping media companies get digital content. We did a real estate company to actually put their listings online. Again, we're talking about smaller rental property management groups, managed to get them online. So a number of different projects. But I'd say, broadly speaking, the number one category has been getting a functioning web capability.
Professor Prabhakar, are there many that you note of these, I guess you could call them clients in a way, that Project Hope is helping? Are they a lot of them minority-based groups or organizations or businesses that seem to need the help the most these days?
Yeah, so we do have quite a few minority-owned businesses. We have also completed three projects with non-English-speaking clients, so that has been very interesting for us to take all of the material and the capabilities that we have developed and translating that into Spanish. To meet that need, we are now starting to work with other units on the Indiana University campus to kind of expand our footprint in terms of having additional language capabilities and such within the team.
When you have all these groups getting together, learning something virtually, do you have a chance to do, obviously you have the opportunity to get a lot of a very quick reaction or certainly replies or in-feed, I guess, coming back to the university from how successful all these projects have been working out? Do you get much feedback these days?
We do. And the feedback has been uniformly positive. As you know, we are partnering with the Small Business Development Centers, and We've been surveying every single company that we have worked with, and we're getting about a 90% response rate, and we were kind of telling the SBDC, why isn't everybody responding? And it was interesting in that, you know, a 90% response rate is tremendous, right? Because typically survey responses are, 30 to 40% at best. The feedback has been uniformly positive. We are now in the process of collecting data on the long-term impact of some of the earlier projects that we have done. And it's interesting, right, to talk about a month as a long-term. The first set of pilot projects we did there in late May, and then we scaled up in the first part of June. And we are now starting to go back to those companies and trying to understand with the SBDC what has really been the economic impact on the firm and, of course, on the state. So the IEDC, which is the Indiana Economic Development Corporation, to which all of the SBDCs report to, is working at the state level to go in and find out the impact of the projects that we've done thus far. So as of now, we've completed over 100 projects, and we have another 30-something that will be completed by the end of this week.
That's great. I understand there are just a very few criteria that a small business has to be able to follow to be able to be qualified to be involved in Project Hope. What are those criteria? And if anybody that's listening that isn't involved but needs the assistance, being a small business and needs some online presence and capability assistance, how can they be able to find out more about this project?
So the number one criteria that we have is that they should be a member of the Indiana Small Business Development Centers. Mm-hmm. And if they are not a member, they can sign up. It's a quick, easy, painless process. And we are using the SBDC as a partner because they can help the business with a lot of things that we cannot. So, for example, if they need funding, if they need other kinds of support other than, the business consulting and the technology capabilities that we can build for them. If there are costs involved in deploying your solutions, the SBDC can help them find that. So we are looking for, partnering with the SBDC as our primary requirement. And beyond that, we do look at feasibility. We do look at their commitment to work with us in the short time frame that we have. We look at whether, obviously, we have the capability to deliver the project and transition back to the client in such a way that they can keep this going.
Professor Bipin Prabhakar is on the faculty of the Indiana University Kelly School of Business at Bloomington, and along with the Kelly School of Business, the Indiana Small Business Development Center is involved in this new partnership to be able to support the long-term economic recovery of Hoosier small businesses and entrepreneurs across the state. And Professor Prabhakar, thank you very much for being with us to talk about it today.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's been a pleasure.
It's been nearly 6 months since the pandemic hit, so what is the state of Indiana's economy now? Unemployment remains around 10%, but that could change thanks to several big economic development announcements this week. Inside Indiana business host Gary Dick has more.
For some 6 months now, the COVID-19 pandemic has pummeled the Indiana economy. But amidst a sea of mostly negative news, some positive developments this week. Texas-based Mission Foods announcing plans to build a tortilla manufacturing facility in Plainfield with plans for nearly 550 jobs. In northwest Indiana, another Texas-based company, Corsicana Mattress Company, has selected LaPorte for a box bed manufacturing facility with plans for 350 jobs there. And in Lake County, Alliance Steel this week christened a new headquarters in Gary and plans to add 100 jobs there, a headquarters moving from Illinois. Indiana Secretary of Commerce Jim Schellinger joins us now with more on these new developments and what might be next. And Jim, as always, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gary. It's always good to be with you.
Okay, we'll talk about those developments in a moment, but obviously the pandemic has impacted all industries in all states around the country. Your take, your assessment on economic development in 2020, given the pandemic?
Well, Gary, we've had a good year in 2020. I've told people we're obviously going to have a record year because one of we had to do economic development during a pandemic, and not only just a health crisis, but also a financial crisis and a civil discord crisis that we have going on. So I really, truly appreciate appreciate the governor's leadership on all fronts on what he's been doing over the past 6 months. And in 2020, so far, we knock on wood, we're very privileged, more than most states in the country, maybe more than any other state in the country. We are approaching 20,000 new job commitments this year, which has us on pace for another record year. We have got over $2.7 billion in capital investment this year so far, and the wages are over $27. So it's really good news for Indiana as a whole, and we're really proud of that. 168 yep. projects, and that's a good start for us to come, or a good way or place to be as we come down the home stretch, even if we don't have fans.
Yeah, right. And you know, an indication that the companies obviously are making decisions for 3-5 years down the road and need to make those decisions. Big jobs announcements, as I mentioned this week, Mission Foods in Plainfield, 550 jobs. Corsicana, a mattress company, 350 in LaPorte. These are some deals with big jobs numbers.
Big numbers, and we've got in our pipeline today, we track our top 25 relentlessly, because usually by then we've already given them a deal, put it into paper. Our hit rate's 85-90% when we have deals on the pipeline that are in that top 25. We're tracking 22 right now because we landed three last week. But we in that top 25, we've got over 6,000 jobs, new jobs that will be committed. We have over 2.1 billion in CapEx. And again, these jobs will do nothing but increase our wages. And we'll get probably up to 27.25. Yeah. So it's been great so far. And I think it has a lot to do with the way leadership in this state is acting on all fronts. Start with the business leaders. They're the ones that create the jobs. Gary, as you know, you talk to them all the time. And you mentioned these three companies are outstanding. The governor today at 11 a.m. was up doing the ribbon cutting at Alliance Steel. This is a company that came here from Illinois. We have a lot of businesses that have come here from Illinois, and they are just a fantastic company. And as you mentioned, 130 new jobs, and their CEO, Andy, is just as good as can be. And,
yeah, hey, Jim, talk about that, because it's a headquarters operation announced a couple of years ago, but moving from Illinois to Gary, big announcement for folks in Gary. Illinois continues to be a place where Indiana's having some success.
We do. We love to compete with Illinois, and we say that affectionately. They're obviously our neighboring state. But from an economic standpoint and from what they're able to do as a state relative to taxes, regulations, amenities, the things they have going, they cannot compete with us. So these companies come to us. We don't approach them. And we have over 60 companies that have relocated to Indiana over the past year and a half, yep. 2 years. And so it's been phenomenal. And they're coming here for lower taxes. They're coming here for reasonable regulations. They're coming here because of our business-friendly climate. And they're coming here for our workforce. Yep. We have a tremendous workforce in Indiana.
Hey, Jim, very quickly, only have 15 seconds, but heading through the rest of the year, your expectations?
Well, we've had the 168 projects, Gary, we've only announced about 69 of them, or actually 49. 20 are in the works, either by a press release or an in-person press conference. We still have over 100 that haven't been announced, and we have all these great pipeline projects. So we never close down as a state. We're getting back on track, the governor's plan, but I told the governor, we've continued to log laps during this time. We've never stopped, albeit under a yellow flag.
Yep. All right. Very good. Jim Schellinger, Indiana Secretary of Commerce, as always, thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Gary.
That is Inside Indiana Business host, Gary Dick. That's it for Regionally Speaking for today and for this week. I'm Chris Nolte. Thanks to Barbara Quant, the Indiana Director of the NFIB, for talking about Indiana small business and how they're doing these days, and to Inside Indiana Business host Gary Dick as well for his comments from the state executives dealing with economic development. And we hope that you'll join us on Monday for another Regionally Speaking.